Well, I think it's appropriate for me to have Al share something with you, a perspective that really blessed my heart this week as we were working what our Lord and Savior did as far as his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And what a ransom. This song here, boy, I don't know, touched my heart in what he did, the price that he paid. And we use that term, the price he paid, but Al has an interesting perspective on that. I'd like for him to come up and share this with us briefly.
Thank you, Bob. Trying to hold back the emotions because this is a very sensitive topic for me as well. I'm sure it is for you. But I started by saying, where do I begin? Where do I begin? How about at the end? At the end of our sinful man. When Christ died, so did we. Now, I want to share something with all of you. There is this term that has troubled me over the years. And I'm going to stop saying it. And that is the term, Christ paid the price. That's what I'm going to stop saying. Christ paid the price. Really? Christ paid the price? Let me give you an example of paying the price. Let's imagine for a moment a group of us, 10, 15 of us, decided to go to the movies. In order to do that, you have to go up there and get your tickets. In the process, someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, put your money away. Barney paid the price." That's what that connotes to me and has. Pay the price. A thing that's momentous. Barney taking out his visa. Boom. The price has been paid. Instead, let me tell you what I will be saying, and I have been saying. Christ endured the price. Do you see where I'm going with this? Paying the price does no justice to what our Lord and Savior went through for some 36 hours. So, I implore you to change your vocabulary from Christ paid the price to Christ endured the price. You know, without his death, there would be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, we would never be saved. So God had this all figured out. And so this morning I'm here to put that out to you guys, that Christ endured the price. There's a big difference. Furthermore, you will not find in the Bible Christ paid the price. But you know what you will find? That he endured it. And I know you know this. So let's change our way of thinking and use that from here on out. I want to close by saying something before I hand this back over to Bob. And it's this. In dying this dishonorable and disgraceful death, Jesus Christ was numbered with the transgressors. Yet, because he who knew no sin became sin, God has made us the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus Christ, we have the most precious gift of all, eternal life. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. I wanted you to see the point there, the price that was endured. You know, Jesus Christ had to pay the price, but it's much more than just putting out his Visa card and having it done and over with. He had to endure for many, many hours great torture, great pain, so that he could redeem us, right? All right. I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, there's no greater power that has ever been witnessed by man than that of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that resurrection is what made all the difference in the world for you and I as born again ones. In Philippians 3, chapter 8 and 10, I'll quote this for you. I know you're going to 1 Corinthians 15. But it says in Philippians 3, 8 through 10a, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is by the law or of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and" what? "The power of his resurrection." This morning I want you to see the greatness and depth of the power of the resurrection. And with that understanding, I trust that you will really appreciate what that did for us and what Jesus Christ did and who we are because of the great resurrection. So, let's take a look here in 1 Corinthians. You know, it's because of the resurrection that we have the new birth realities and the hope of Christ's return. And how could Christ come back if God had not raised him from the dead and placed him at his own right hand? So in chapter 15, the first part of chapter 15 talks about the resurrection, how important the resurrection is to be believed. All right? So we're going to start in verse 12. We're going to jump to verse 12. "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." See how this has worked, the common sense of it? The rationality here, everything we do, the preaching, everything like that we do, if Christ didn't raise up, it's all what? Empty. It's vain. There's nothing to life. Verse 17. Well, verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and yet you're yet in your what? Whoa. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those who are born again and they've died, and there's no resurrection, that's it. That's it for their life. They've perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Most miserable, because if he didn't get raised up, there's no hope. There's nothing left. It's over with. But now, I love that word, but. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, and it shall be delivered up, the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Can you see the logic in this? And how vital this understanding is. Because if you don't understand the resurrection, how do you live life in comfort of knowing what's ahead in the end? What goes on? That's what got me going to God's Word. When I was 12 years old, I saw a program about the future, things that would happen 200-300 years in the future, and I thought all of a sudden, I'm going to be dead then. What's life all about? I live life and I'm dead, so it's over with. Is there more to life? Is there more to it? Yes, because Christ raised from the dead. And boy, to understand that, then to appreciate that, and then to live with the excitement of what's ahead for us. Man, oh man. How does this all work? This dying, buried, being raised up, having a whole new great life? How does this work? How does this eternal life thing work? Well, we still have some more verses to read, right? Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. Verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do when which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Now wait a minute. I never really understood this verse. What are they talking about? They baptize from the dead. Pretty wild, huh? What are they talking about? What do they mean here? Well, Barney and Jan and I had the opportunity to get together last Wednesday and work chapter 15 for a couple hours. And it was one of the greatest hours I've spent in a long time, working the Word. And I think Barney found this bit of information that helps explain that verse. And it's in your notes here. By the way, I trust you saw that I've placed on your seats here some notes for you to follow. So if you didn't bring a pen to write out notes or anything, pretty much they're all here, the verses that I'm using. So look at number one here. Understanding verse 29, other words, what will those who are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Just north of Corinth was a city named Eleusis. This was the location of a pagan religion where baptism in the sea was practiced to guarantee a good afterlife. This religion was mentioned by Homer in hymn to Demeter, 478-79. The Corinthians were known to be heavily influenced by other customs. After all, they were in a large economic area where a great many different people frequented. It is probable that the Corinthians were being influenced by the religious practices found at Eleusis, where baptism for the dead was practiced. That was the practice of their pagan religion. Paul used this example from the pagans in 1 Corinthians 15:29 when he said, if the dead are not raised, then why are they baptized for the dead? Paul did not say we. This is significant because the Christian church was not practicing baptism for the dead, but the pagans were. Paul's point was simple. The resurrection is a reality. It is going to happen when Jesus returns. Even the pagans believe in the resurrection. Otherwise, why would they baptize for the dead? So kind of interesting, isn't it? So that verse makes a little more sense. All right, we're not done here. So what verse are we on next? Verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die. Hey, if nobody's going to get raised up, let's have a great time before we die, right? Let's party. Hey, because of the resurrection, we can really party, right? Because what? We have expectations, great expectations. All right. Where are we? 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or what? Made alive. Accept it. Die. It's got to die first, right? Before it's made alive again. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. So you don't take, here's a tomato plant, right? You don't take the tomato plant and bury it to get a tomato plant. What do you plant? The seed. The seed. That little seed looks like a speck of dust. This something like this. I think these are chia seeds in here. But tomato seeds are real small too. You put this little dust, speck of dust in the ground, you bury it. It looks like it's dead. 80 days later, what do you got? Tomatoes! Isn't that amazing? A little seed produces a beautiful plant. Think about human life. A little seed, little, can't even see it. Hits that egg, voila, here we are. Here's life, we grow into who we are. Isn't that amazing how God set life in its the certain way like this? It really, I think about this because it really parallels what happened with Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and being raised up with great glory. We're going to see this even bigger yet. Okay, so, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, verse 38, as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So, again, the seed makes all the difference. These are a little bigger seeds. I think these are pumpkin seeds. Some people eat the pumpkin seeds, don't they? But you bury these things, and 60, 70 days later, you get these big old pumpkins. How does that work? You know, God is so amazing. All these little seeds, little specks, they look like they're dead. You bury them, and bingo, you get great fruit. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. Okay, got different animals out there, different flesh. There are also celestial bodies. What is celestial bodies? What is he talking about there? The stars, the heavens, the planets, okay? All right, so there's these celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. What's a terrestrial body? the earth, mountains, hills, all that stuff. Okay? So there are celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one. And then this is amazing when you look at the stars at night. Just see them out there. Just fantastic. The great glory of the stars shining up there. That glory is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. You know, we write songs on the purple, beautiful hills, right? Or the mountains, all this stuff. Just the glory of the terrestrial. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. I mean, you see all these twinkling stars up there, but if you look carefully, some of them are different colors. Some are a little more twinkly than others. Right? Amazing. The different glories of the stars in the heavens. So also, okay, here's a comparison. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Boy, that when it's raised up, that thing is of great glory, incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is shown in weakness. It is raised in power. Jesus Christ, when he died, he didn't even look like a human. He was so beat up. That wasn't glory, was it? But when God raised him from the dead, that's the glory, right? Oh my golly, isn't that fantastic? Amazing. All right. Verse 43. Where are we at now? It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. When we are raised up, you and I, when Christ comes back, we're going to be raised up. And what kind of body are we going to have? A body like unto His, our Lord and Savior's. Isn't that fantastic what we have to look forward to? Wow. And all of that, this is how God put it into being here. This blows my mind how this all fits with life and how we can see this, the parallels here. Unbelievable. But it's believable. It's God's Word. Note number two. 1 Corinthians, the Message Bible, gives a wonderful translation of these verses 39 through 44. You will notice that the variety of bodies is stunning. Just as there are different kinds of seeds, there are different kinds of bodies. Humans, animals, birds, fish, each unprecedented in its form. You get a hint at the diversity of the resurrection glory by looking at the diversity of the bodies, not only on earth, but in the skies. Sun, moon, stars, all these varieties of beauty and brightness. And we're only looking at pre-resurrection seeds. Who can imagine what the resurrection plants will be like? Woo! This image of planting a dead seed and raising a live plant is a mere sketch at best. But perhaps it will help in approaching the mystery of the resurrection body. But only if you keep in mind that when we're raised for good, alive, forever. The corpse that is planted is no beauty. You know, if we die before Christ comes back, it's not a pretty thing. I don't care what the folks do in the funeral homes, right? The corpse that's planted is no beauty, but when it is raised, it's what?
Glorious.
Put in the ground weak, it comes up powerful. The seed sown is natural. The seed grown is supernatural. Same seed, same body, but what a difference from when it goes down in physical mortality to when it is raised up in spiritual mortality. Wow. Whew. All right, let's carry on here. Verse 45. You guys are great. You're hanging in there beautiful. I trust this is of interest to you. It better be, my golly. This is our life. This is who we are. This is who we will be. And so, verse 45, it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a living spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord, is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Wow. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Wow. Isn't that fantastic? This gift that we have and you're given at the new birth when we're born again of God's Spirit, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God, what? Raised Him from the dead. God set the new birth in the simplicity of believing the resurrection that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And there we get it. Born again. We receive this new Holy Spirit. It's that spiritual body that will be transformed into a body just like the risen Lord and Savior when He comes to gather us together at the last trump. Philippians 3:21. We're going to finish Corinthians. Don't leave there. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself? We've got to look forward to the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ when we're gathered together. All right. Verse 51. Back in 1 Corinthians. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. To help you understand this section here, I'd like to quote to you note number 3. It's from the Message Bible. Man, listen to this. But let me tell you something wonderful. A mystery. I'll probably never fully understand. We're not all going to die, but we are all going to be changed. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet, and in that time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment and in the same way, we'll all be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal replaced by the immortal. This mortal replaced by the immortal. Then the saying will come true, death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and the law code guilt that gave sin a leverage, its destructive blow. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God. Isn't that fantastic? Man, this is all part of who we are. And I don't know about you, but when I understand something like what we're seeing here, then I can greatly appreciate it much more, can't you? You got something to look forward to. Now, there's still one verse left, isn't there? And this is the call to action, really, of all the greatness of what we've heard here. What are we going to do now? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Any and everything you do for God from in your life now before that time comes, God will honor that, reward that, or whatever. It's all good. It's all good. So, I wonder what I should be doing with my life now in light of the truth of God's word. What should be my passion? What should be my goals in life? I'll let you and God figure that one out. But I know this, that if you stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that labor will not be in vain in the Lord. Well, we're done. I'd like to make available to you a gift. You're familiar with the book. We've talked about it in previous months, Experiencing God. And there's a pamphlet that I would like to make available to all of you. It's on the table in the back, so take one. And it's a synopsis of that book. So if you haven't read the book, grab the pamphlet. And if you've read the book, that pamphlet will be great review for you. What's it? Experiencing God. You want to experience God, right? I mean, can you speak in tongues? You know the Spirit's in there, right? Great experience. And why not walk and talk with our Heavenly Father, who's going to send His Son to gather us together sometime soon. That trumpet will sound, and you and I will be raised up or changed, and we'll have that glorious body like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? So Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your love and how you've made all this so, so wonderfully available to us. And you would explain it so that we could understand it and appreciate what you did for us through your Son. Thank you for doing that, Father, and putting up with all the junk and crap. So we love you, Father, and we just want to be our best for you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You better finish that song, right? Yes.